Welcome to the Sensational Sex Podcast, where we help women in long-term relationships thrive after the honeymoon stage is over. Are you a woman who wants a deep, intimate, and satisfying connection with her partner? Of course you do. Amy Rowan and Dr. Trina Reed have the answers, and all you have to do is join us each week and take a small step. Soon enough, you'll be that woman who effortlessly has a satisfying sex life. Follow us on social media at Sensational Sex Podcast. Share this episode, return next week, leave a review, and thank you so much for subscribing. Now, let's start the show.
Sometimes, during and after a big illness or major surgery, such as breast cancer or a mastectomy, it can feel like there's no room for intimacy.
Or because there was such a big intimacy gap, months where there was no intimacy or sex, you're living like roommates. Reconnecting can seem like a big challenge.
Today, you will learn the best way to reconnect with your partner and your intimacy so that you can put that difficult part of your life's story behind you.
Hello, beautiful people. I'm Dr. Trina Reed. Thank you for listening to the Sensational Sex Podcast. We're so happy you're joining us.
I'm Amy Rowan, the Suburban Sexologist. Even though your sex life will never be perfect, you can create the sex life that is perfect for you. And we are here to help you with that. Today's podcast is a different format than we typically do. A little bit more of a Q&A. And I would like to thank NewEve for sponsoring today's episode.
So we're diving into a topic that is emotional and it's personal and it's often overlooked. And that is intimacy after breast cancer. And this is especially near and dear to us because our dear Amy is a breast cancer survivor.
You're going to learn how breast cancer affects your body image, sexual function, and relationships, and how to navigate those changes with grace, communication, and some practical tools. Whether you're a survivor, a partner, or a healthcare provider, this conversation is going to offer compassionate guidance, expert tips, and a powerful reminder at the end. Intimacy is still possible, and it can be even more meaningful after cancer.
So, Amy, you are coming on a big anniversary, so why don't you tell us about it?
Absolutely. May 9th will mark 8 years since my one and only mammogram that I had at age 38.
So isn't 38 a little early to get your first mammogram, and how did that come about?
Typically, it is recommended for women without any history of breast cancer to get their first mammogram at age 40. However, I found a lump. It was actually above my right breast, more up in my chest wall, and I wasn't sure about it. I went to my doctor, she felt it, and she said, "Nope, I'm not concerned about this. I really don't think it's anything to be concerned about." But thankfully, she sent me for a mammogram anyway.
Yeah, because that's not always the case. I've heard so many stories about doctors dismissing women's concerns.
Me too. I just listened to another podcast recently where a younger woman in her 20s went and her doctor was like, "You're too young for breast cancer." And two or three years later, she was diagnosed with stage 4. And so this is why it is so important. We talk about this a lot, to advocate for your own health. I'm so glad that even though my doctor wasn't concerned, she did send me, because my lucky lump, as I now call it, actually was not cancer, but it was thickened breast tissue. And this is occasionally a symptom of the type of cancer that I ended up having. And for me, it was a red flag that was waving, and I'm really, really glad that I paid attention to that.
And I think that's the point, is paying attention to your body. I think sometimes when we're so busy being busy, you know, we have things happen to our body, but we're like, oh, you know what, I'm just ignoring it. I've got a pain in my foot. Oh, I'm just going to ignore it. And feel like you do need to pay attention, because it's just going to, it's sometimes like this, it's make or break. And, you know, mm-hmm. Yeah. So women try, and we try and tough our way through things, and it's not always the best thing. So never ignore even the smallest of signs. You never know what you're going to find.
Absolutely. So I went for that first mammogram, and I wasn't concerned at all. I didn't bring my husband. I didn't think that I just thought I was getting a baseline mammogram. And that day very quickly went very sideways and turned into the worst day of my life because it revealed that I had stage 0, triple negative, high grade DCIS, which is an acronym for ductal carcinoma in situ, with comedonecrosis. A lot of words there. All of that's to say what I learned was it was actually a very aggressive, very difficult to treat type of cancer. And my oncologist told me later that if I had found it even 6 months later, my treatment and prognosis likely would have been very, very different. And so I am so grateful and lucky that I caught it as early as I did.
Me too. I think we're all grateful that you advocated for yourself. And you know what? It's interesting because you don't hear very much about stage 0 breast cancer. So can you tell us a little bit more about that?
I had never heard of stage 0 before this. I did not even know that it existed. And what stage 0 means is that there are cancerous cells that are spreading in your body, but they have not become invasive yet. So for me, mine was all over my right breast. It was completely everywhere, but they were still inside the milk ducts. So I had to get a single mastectomy. A lumpectomy was not a choice for me. However, I was given a choice of whether or not I wanted to have a double mastectomy. And when I talked to the doctor about it, she said because of my age, I had up to an 80% risk of recurrence on the left side. So,
wow. That's stunning. And I guess that decision was a no-brainer for you.
It was a no-brainer, but that doesn't mean that it was an easy decision for me. Mm-hmm. We will get more into some of those emotions around treatment in a bit. But what happened was I elected for the double mastectomy, and then I had a type of reconstruction for my breast called tram flap reconstruction, and that's when they took parts of my ab muscles and used that to help reconstruct my breasts. That was a huge surgery that happened within 5 weeks, and then I had 3 more reconstructive surgeries over the next 2 years. I was, like I've mentioned, I can't say it enough, so lucky to catch it early, but it really was a huge life-altering experience for me.
Yes, and you had little kids at the time, which yeah, I can't imagine how complicated that must have been. So how old were your kids?
My boys, they were young. They were 3, 6, and 9. And I think in a way, their ages, it was another blessing within that because they were young enough that we were really able to shield them from most of it. They didn't know, we never used the word cancer. They just knew that I had to have some surgeries. They knew I had to heal. It kind of all happened over the summertime. So they just really had kind of the greatest summer of their life. They got to go visit family and they went to lots of camps and things like that. And I just got to rest and heal.
Wow. Well, it's good. It's good that your kids had a party and, you know, they had no idea what was happening. Yeah. And so it is so important to recognize breast cancer can impact anyone at any age, at any stage of their life. So your experience, both personal and professional, gives you such a unique perspective. So let's start with what so many women struggle with, and that is the emotional fallout. So what are some of the self-image struggles and sexual roadblocks the survivors will face?
There are so many layers here. And for me, especially in the very beginning, of course, I was absolutely terrified. There was so much fear. And I think the emotion that took me by surprise the most was the anger that mm-hmm. I felt. I'm not an angry person at all. I really very rarely feel anger, but I was so angry at my body. I felt like my body had betrayed me. And I was also incredibly angry at having to make this decision to lose my breasts. I remember trying to negotiate and figure out any way around having a double mastectomy, and there really was no choice. And I remember feeling very angry about being forced to make that decision. I was scared. I didn't know what I was going to look like after surgery. You see all of these pictures of reconstructed breasts, and you know, they all look very different, and I didn't know what that was going to look like. I didn't know if I was going to have any feeling left. And I also just didn't know if my body was going to work the way that it used to. With the tram flap procedure, they are moving your ab muscles around, so they're doing a lot of stuff around the abdomen, and so I didn't know if that was going to affect my pelvic function. I didn't know if I was still going to be able to have an orgasm. And the hardest part of this was, these really aren't questions that you can just Google. I mean, will I still be able to have an orgasm after a double mastectomy? It was just, it felt very overwhelming. And of course, my doctors didn't talk about this. And honestly, and this was before I was a certified sexologist, I didn't ask either. And there's just so much silence around this that is so central to, you know, an important part of ourselves as women, as wives. And as we know, as we talk about all the time, women already carry so much shame and so much pressure around sex, even before cancer shows up. So for a lot of women, if intimacy is already difficult, breast cancer can make it feel completely impossible. And so many women and couples just end up withdrawing instead of reaching out for support.
Yeah, I think in that moment where you're having, you know, it's a life or death issue, like orgasms are pretty far down the list, but it also seems like, you know, a selfish thing to want. Like, you know, like you're fighting for your life, like, you know, so why would you be wanting to have this part? But, you know, it is an integral part of who you are. And it, so I don't think it's selfish at all. And so, Amy, tell us about that caregiver dynamic that can be so very tender and complicated.
One of my memories from the hospital is, as I was getting ready to head back into surgery, looking at my husband, my parents and my husband were back there with me, and I could see that they were trying to be strong for me, but I could see all of this fear in their eyes as well as mine. And it was just heartbreaking. The whole thing was just so heartbreaking. And I know it was incredibly difficult for them in ways that I don't understand. And for partners, the intimacy struggle is real too. Again, like you talked about, for me, thankfully, it was never a life and death situation, but I know that so many cancer survivors, it is, they're fighting for their lives. And so thinking about intimacy, wanting intimacy, partners can feel a lot of guilt and, you know, shame around that, because again, it's something that just feels like we don't need to worry about this. And there's a lot of vulnerability in that caregiver dynamic. Right after my surgery, I wasn't able to lift my arms. You can't lift your arms at all. So I couldn't do things like wash my hair, and I had these drains in. So my husband pulled a chair into the shower, and he, you know, had to wash my hair and sponge off my entire body and wash me. And I couldn't do anything. I could barely move. And I just remember that feeling like one of the most vulnerable moments of my life. Sexy was so far from any of that. I have no idea what he was thinking. The thing is, the partners, they don't know what to say or do in this, and they're afraid to hurt us, you know, especially if you're going through longer term treatments such as chemo or radiation. There's a lot of pain that comes in with that, and so they don't want to hurt you. Your partner might feel guilt because they're still craving connection, intimate or otherwise. And if we don't talk about it, they may start to pull away just to protect us or themselves. And again, it can feel so difficult to even bring up that conversation, because I think a lot of people are just afraid of saying the wrong thing.
You don't know what to do. There is no playbook on, you know, intimacy and connection and emotional connection. Maybe that's your calling, is to write that book on keeping emotionally connected during this time. Because as you said, as your husband was washing you in the shower, you probably were both feeling asexual at that moment, you know, and then how do you reconnect after going through that experience? And I feel like communication is at the core of this healing. So what are some of your tips for breaking the silence?
I think one of the biggest things, and this is difficult, but don't let the elephant grow. Don't let the elephant in the room grow. because the longer you are silent, the longer you are separate, the more insurmountable these conversations feel like. Even when you're post-surgery and, you know, maybe you notice that your partner is looking at you in a certain way and your initial instinct is like, oh my gosh, no, leave me alone. But you can say, you know what, like, trust me when I say I'm not feeling sexy right now, but I do miss you. I miss you, and I'm really looking forward to a time that we can connect again. And that reaching out is creating a connection. It's kind of bridging that gap. And it's important to ask for touch. I think so many people going through cancer treatment, especially longer-term cancer treatment, the only touch that they're receiving, or a lot of touch that they're receiving, is medical touch. It's nurses touching them, doctors touching them. You start to separate from touch sort of as a protective mechanism. And so asking for that, asking for your partner to hold your hand or just rub your leg or rub your back is really important. Giving them permission to do that. Share what does feel good. I remember another time, you know, later on down, you know, I think maybe 6 or 8 months after my surgery, I realized that my husband, you know, when we were being intimate, he was avoiding my chest. And I thought it was because he didn't think that that was sexy anymore, because obviously I had had surgeries, I had scars, you know, he had showered me, you know, all of these things. And I took it personally for a little while, but one day I just asked him, I said, you know, I noticed you've been avoiding my chest. I'm just curious what that's about. And he said, well, you told me it was numb. You told me it felt weird, which it did, because they moved everything around. I have weird zings and stuff. But he wasn't avoiding it out of disgust. And I had touched the different areas and noticed that my feeling was coming back. And so I invited him to explore it again. And that was really healing. But it was because I broached that conversation that realized that it wasn't that he was feeling disgusted with me, which is how I internalized it at the time. So
I think a lot of women, we blame ourselves. Like, we automatically think it's our fault. And so I like what you say there, that you just said to him directly what's happening. And he was like, oh, well, this is what's happening. So,
yeah,
it was just that easy.
Just acknowledging it. I think people... Both people, you know, whether you are the person, you know, in treatment or you're the caregiver, I think a lot of people are just afraid of saying the wrong thing. And within that fear, you just sit in silence. And silence is probably the only wrong thing here. So just being truly honest about what you're feeling. And if you're struggling with these words, there is a really wonderful book that I recommend. It's called A Better Normal. It's by Tess DeVez, and they are a clinical sexuality occupational therapist based out of Australia. Unfortunately, they are currently living terminal with breast cancer, recurrence of breast cancer, but this book has really amazing prompts for these conversations.
So something that can help women in this time is to make sure to take care of her vulva and her vaginal health. And I feel like if you can nurture and take care of it, then reconnecting after you go through this will be easier, if that makes sense to you, especially if you're going through chemotherapy and everything is messed up. So we're going to take a 1 minute Make Happy Sex Memories with a New Eve Promote Love moment.
Because getting the quality of your life back with a healthy vulva and a happy vagina is only one click away.
Are you a woman over 40 who finds sex uncomfortable?
Then listen up, because we have the solution for you.
When Dr. Renji Chang turned 55, many of her friends, coworkers, and neighbors had the same crazy thing happen to their marriages.
And no one talked about it, but everyone talked about it.
After 25 years of happy marriage, the husband goes on a business trip to Asia and never comes home.
Their husbands all ran away with new girlfriends. So much pain and heartbreak. Marriages and families were broken.
And why did this happen?
The easy answer is that men are...
But Dr. Renji Chang as a scientist and a gynecologist, did not think that was the whole answer, so she dug in deeper.
She discovered that after menopause, 30% of women experience issues that made sex so painful that it became impossible. And she found that no more sex was the first domino, and divorce was the last domino.
Dr. Chang wanted to help save these marriages, so she invented NuEve. NuEve is a natural remedy that works using nutrients taken both orally, topically, and vaginally to nourish your tissues, promoting collagen and elasticity, and restoring your body's normal sexual functions.
NuEve has custom formulations for dryness, painful sex, bacterial vaginosis, chronic UTIs, bladder prolapse, cytolytic vaginosis, vaginismus, aerobic vaginitis, and much more.
If painful sex or other intimate health issues are affecting your relationship, NuEve offers a natural, effective solution.
Order NuEve today and start your journey back to a healthy, fulfilling relationship. Your body deserves it.
And here's even better news. Our affiliate link in the description will get you a 5% discount. Simply use the code SSP.
And remember, when you take care of your vulva, she will take good care of you.
Okay, we're back with our sex IQ. So, Amy, you probably know this answer. So I think this is an unfair sex IQ question because you know the answer, but we'll see if everybody else knows the answer. So what percentage of women diagnosed with breast cancer are experiencing changes in their sexual well-being after treatment? Is it A, 10%, B, 25%, C, 50%, or D, over 70%?
Well, the answer is, and this is what I would expect, it is over 70%. Mm-hmm. Research shows that more than 70% of breast cancer survivors experience sexual health challenges after treatment, and this is going to include body image issues, vaginal dryness, pain during intercourse, loss of libido, and emotional disconnection. And yet, as we talked about, these issues are so rarely discussed in medical settings.
Yeah, that's why you need to use NuEve and have open conversations and know what your resources are, and that support are essential to your healing, both physically, emotionally, and sexually.
For many hormone-positive breast cancer survivors, especially if they're not in menopause yet, then what a lot of women are put on hormone blockers, which will then kick you into immediate menopause, and then you're experiencing all of the symptoms that we've talked about so extensively, especially in our most recent podcasts. However, there is something that I wanted to highlight, because when we're thinking about changing mindset, there is another podcast I just listened to recently called Dying for Sex. Have you heard of this one, Dr. Trina?
I think I have, yeah.
It's about a woman, and she is diagnosed with breast cancer. And she takes that as a, you know what, life is too short. She decides to leave a unfulfilling marriage, and she goes on all of these kind of wild sexcapades because she just wants to explore and, you know, feel all of these different things. And, you know, she said, you know, once you're kind of looking at life or death, she was like, you know what, life's, I'm going to go try all the things. And while I'm certainly not saying that's a solution for everyone or even most people, I do think it was a really interesting take on, I think it was interesting how she decided to kind of flip this thing on its head and go explore all of these different things.
It looks really interesting for sure.
Yeah.
So this is the part of the podcast where we put on our sexologist hats and give you practical ideas. Amy, what are some tangible steps that women can take to start rebuilding their body confidence and rekindling intimacy?
It's really important, and this isn't just in cancer. I think this is across the board, but nurturing intimacy in very small ways. I like to say that these are very small giants. So it is highly likely that intercourse is going to be off the table for some period of time during this type of treatment. But cuddling, holding hands, saying I love you, rubbing feet, these build a bridge back to connection. And you don't need to wait for it to feel spontaneous again, because spontaneity there, it may not come for a while.
Yeah, and you do a thing called a touch date. What does that mean?
So planning a touch date, it is actually, it's in the same vein of what I assign to a lot of my coaching clients, which is planning sex. So, but if sex and intimacy is off the table during this time, planning a touch date can be another important way of purposefully nurturing intentional connection. So if you are in long-term treatment, especially like radiation or chemo, a really wonderful tip that you can do is keep a diary of your fatigue and of your pain. So track what you're feeling over the course of a two-week period. And what you will notice is there will be certain times throughout your treatment when your energy is feeling a little bit better and your pain is lower, or maybe you aren't experiencing pain. So that is a great time to schedule your closeness, to schedule your touch date. And then you can say something like, can we snuggle, or I'm really loving you right now. You're creating that safety. But that's just a time that you can say, you know what, I know that we're going to just, you know, sit and rub each other's legs, or I'm going to give you a back rub. Because a lot of times if you are feeling obviously incredibly sick, incredibly tired, and a lot of pain, you may not want anyone to touch you at that point in time. And that's also okay.
Yeah. And I really like this idea of creating the opportunity. So, you know, you're looking for moments where you can have some closeness, and it's working with your body too. So in the same vein, how can a woman who's in this situation start to rebuild her confidence?
I think this is a huge challenge for most women. I know it certainly was for me, you know, going through, it was 4 surgeries. My body changed every time. My boobs changed. I had new bras. And so it's just really important in this time to treat your body with love. Get clothes, get some new clothes that can fit your new shape. If you find that you're like hiding yourself, a lot of women find, you know, start to just wear a lot of baggy clothes or kind of frumpy clothes because they're just kind of hiding. So this is a great time to, you know, bring your best friend with you, bring your pump up person. You've got that friend that is going to make you feel like $1 million. Bring her with you and go try on all the things. Even if you can't buy all the things, at least putting on some new clothes will make you feel really good.
For sure.
It's also just curate your social media feed. If you have a lot of hot celebrities, you're following a lot of people that are making you feel bad about yourself, this might be a good time just to hit unfollow for a little while, and look for more positive role models, such as other breast cancer survivors, and see how they are doing. So being careful about what you consume and what you're seeing can also help boost your confidence. Another thing, you know, if you have pictures around your house of your pre-cancer body, if you get that kind of twinge of like longing, or just, you know, kind of feeling bad, maybe you could put those pictures away. You can substitute them out with something new. And when you are ready, if you are ready, this is a fun time that you can try to bring back some playfulness. So get some new lingerie, focus in on pleasure-focused touch, focus on connection and not performance. These are all ways that you can start to incorporate intimacy back into your life.
Absolutely. So there's also physical changes that will impact a couple's intimacy. So what are some of the most common post-treatment challenges, and what can a couple do to help?
Absolutely. I think, like we've touched on before, so many women are going to experience loss of libido, painful sex, vaginal dryness, vaginal atrophy. But the good news is that these can improve with care. So my go-to product for lubrication is the Exsens aloe-based lubricant. It's vegan, paraben-free, GMO-free, and it has an extra nourishing formula. and that is made with organic aloe vera extract.
And I believe it's an award winner. So, yeah, it's amazing. And for daily care, you can use the New Eve line. So it's hormone-free and designed exactly to nourish delicate vaginal tissue. And for some hormone-positive survivors, low-dose topical estrogen may also be an option. So talk to your doctor about what your options are.
When it comes to painful intercourse, I've said it before, but I do not think this can be stated enough. Pain during intercourse should never be higher than a 3 on a scale of 10. And if it is higher than a 3, you need to stop. Do not push through this pain for your partner. Do not fight your body. Pain is your body's way of saying something is wrong. Your body will start to protect itself. And over time, this can lead to all different types of long-term issues, including on the most extreme side, vaginismus, which is when your body prevents any sort of penetration at all.
And you don't want that, you know. No. So if you are experiencing pain during intercourse, it's important to check in with your medical provider, and we recommend meeting with a pelvic floor therapist.
Some other great things that you can do to start to increase your intimacy is explore the use of toys. Check out some creamy lubricants. I've had some clients that have had some success with hypnosis or intimacy coaching. If you're struggling with guilt, shame, fear, you really just want someone to help walk the path with you and lay out what it is that you need to do. There's lots of solutions and help out there. This really is a whole body healing journey.
Yeah, and I feel strongly, Amy, like this is where you come in as a sex coach, because couples are probably lost at this point and they just need somebody there to guide them and reassure them that, you know, they're probably asking you, will intimacy ever look the same again?
Yeah, I have many clients that come to me specifically because I have gone through the breast cancer journey, and simply talking it out with somebody can be so helpful. And will it ever look the same again? Maybe it will, maybe it won't, but different does not mean worse. And in fact, different can actually be better, because just like we've talked about with sex and intimacy, postmenopausal 60s and 70s, it can be more creative, it can be more intentional, it can be more connected. The really important thing to focus on here and across the board is focus on pleasure, not orgasm. Sex is not just intercourse, it's all of the play and the exploration and the connection. So you can redefine your sexual script, you can redefine the way that you've been having sex, and let go of this perfection. Use all of, you know, your senses, and you can have so much fun. It can become something entirely new and really, really beautiful.
So, Amy, thank you so much for sharing your experience with us. It's a journey, and so we've discussed extensively on this podcast. So if you go back into, you know, Amy has an amazing sex life post breast cancer. So it is possible to have mind-blowing sex after breast cancer. We talk about it in our different podcasts. So, Amy, do you have any final words of wisdom for our listeners?
Yes. Give yourself grace. You are not broken. And this is a process. It's not a linear journey. It's not all going to come rushing back at once. There's going to be stops and starts, and there might be tears. But every little step that you take, every tiny win, it's worth celebrating. Celebrate all of the little things along the way. The biggest thing that we did that I think surprises a lot of people, and actually looking back, it kind of surprises me too, but 2 weeks after my huge surgery, 2 weeks after my double mastectomy and tram flap, I really wanted to try to have sex again. It just felt very important to me. And honestly, it was because I wanted to know if my body still worked. That is what was in my mind. I just wanted to know if my body still worked. And I remember telling James that I wanted to try, and he was like, okay. And so we did. I think I still had drains in at the time, honestly, but we did it very carefully, lots of pillows, very, very slowly. It took a lot of patience. It absolutely was very different sex than we had ever had before, but it was a very, very powerful experience for me because it reminded me that I was still me, the Amy from before the surgery was still there after surgery, and that my body was still mine and my body did still work, which made me feel so much better. And that's what I want for every survivor. I want you to feel like yourself again. I want you to embrace this new normal, this new person that is coming out on the other side, and recognize that, yes, things are changed. Things are irreparable change. There is a before and there is an after, but you are so much more than just the sum of your scars. And so I give you permission. I give you permission to jump back in if that is what you want to do. I think there's also just a fear of, well, maybe, you know, people with breast cancer just don't have sex anymore, something like that. I give you permission to just to go ahead and give it a try.
Well, I like what you said, that you did it even though you were scared. And it wasn't, I'm assuming it wasn't a perfect experience, but it was a profound experience. And it changed the way you saw yourself, but it also, you saw yourself. And I can appreciate how, you know, how it was scary, but you did it anyways.
Yeah. I just needed to confront that. I just wanted to get over that hump, you know, and it was one of those things where it's like, you could just wait and wait and wait, and then it becomes bigger and bigger and scarier. And I was like, you know what? What's the difference between trying now and trying tomorrow or trying next week? Like, I just want to see, like, literally, I wanted to see if my body still worked. Like, that was exactly what was in my head. And I'm glad I did, and it did, and things have just continued to get better and better. And I can confidently say that the sex that we are having now, 8 years after breast cancer, is way better than the sex that we were having before. And I thought we were having pretty good sex before. So yeah, it's just kept going up.
Yay. Something to aspire to. And speaking of aspiring to, tell us about your workbook for breast cancer survivors.
Yes, I'm so glad you asked. I have a free workbook that you can download from my website. It's called Regaining Intimacy After Cancer, and you can get it on my website, suburbanintimacy.com. So when you get there, it's free. I'll email it to you, and it is just a really nice way to help you reconnect, and it talks about some of the things that we've discussed here. And also, don't forget that the New Eve line of products, vaginal salves and supplements, these are also really wonderful options for breast cancer survivors because they are hormone free, and you can save 5% off of your order with the code SSP.
Yeah, so get the 5% off because discounts are awesome. So what we've learned from Amy's journey. Intimacy after breast cancer is absolutely possible, and it requires compassion, curiosity, and communication.
We talked about the emotional and physical challenges that survivors face, how to support partners during this process, and why redefining what sex and connection look like can lead to even deeper, more meaningful experiences.
Amy then went through some practical tools from scheduling touch dates and using the right lubricants like the award-winning XN's lubricant to nurturing your body confidence and body-affirming routines and products.
And most of all, we were reminded that healing does not just mean physical recovery. It means reconnecting with your sense of self, your body, and your partner. And if this episode resonated with you, you are not alone, and help is out there.
Thank you so much, Amy, for sharing your experience. And that is it for us.
My pleasure. Until next time, stay sexy.
Are you struggling with lack of desire, mismatched sex drives, pain, or peri or postmenopausal shifts that affect your sex life? Are you craving more pleasure and passion in the bedroom, but you don't know where to start? At Suburban Intimacy, I offer a holistic blend of one-to-one coaching, educational workshops, online events, and curated by a sexologist intimacy products. Book a complimentary discovery call at suburbanintimacy.com. And while you're there, download your 5 free tips for sexy scheduled sex. Want to spice things up? Save 15% off your first order at suburbanintimacyshop.com with the code PODCAST15.
Is good sex on your mind, but not in your bedroom? Go to trinareed.com and check out my award-winning books, The Sex Course and Sex Bootcamp. While you're there, grab your free copy of Sex Bootcamp Masterclass and sign up for my success newsletter to get weekly freebies and easy ways to help you become the juiciest, sexiest version of you.